CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
Benjamin Franklin said, "The secret of success is constancy of purpose." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who have constant purpose. Our first playmaker, along with his brother, has grown the family business from $6 million to $30 million. Well, our next playmaker has a business that has been contacted by 320,000 homeowners, representing $73.6 billion in real estate. With us today is president of a company who moved the 30-year-old family business from Miami to DFW in 2006, while our next CEO has grown revenue over 5,000%. These great playmakers are Stephen Wang. Stephen is president of Ming Wang. And Jeremy Brandt. Jeremy is CEO of WeBuyHouses.com. We'll begin today's show with Jeremy. Jeremy Brandt is the founder of We Buy Houses and Fast Home Offer, technology companies that provide online tools, lead generation, marketing, and business support to residential real estate investors around the world. Since founding the business in 2002, Jeremy has grown revenue, as I mentioned, 5,000%, and his companies have helped over 1 million homeowners find a solution to their house quickly. As a sought-after expert on real estate and entrepreneurial topics, Fox News, Larry King, CNBC, CNN, Neil Cavuto, NPR, The Wall Street Journal, and many other media outlets have interviewed Jeremy. And now it's my turn. Jeremy, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, you have an interesting background, but you began investing in real estate in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. How did you get into real estate?
You know, I got into real estate almost by necessity. My background was in technology. I was a computer geek and doing a lot of high-tech stuff in 99, 2000. And when the technology market blew up, I had no job. I was laid off and didn't know what to do. And I was here in Dallas-Fort Worth and got involved in flipping houses with a friend of mine and really just took to it. I enjoyed it. I loved it. It got you out going around neighborhoods, seeing all of Dallas-Fort Worth, and that's really the start of my passion for real estate investing and being involved in real estate.
So essentially what you did, you took that interest in real estate, flipping houses, and tied the technology into it. And this couldn't have happened, 10 years ago? Probably wouldn't have been able to happen with the internet wasn't there yet. But how did you come up with the idea of mixing the two together, technology and the real estate?
Yeah, you're right. It was really the right place at the right time. And so, you know, with my technology background, one of the toughest things that real estate investors face is how to find properties. How do they find properties that need repair, that are the type of properties that they can buy as an investment, and the types of properties that home sellers want to sell quickly? And so in 2002, 2003, I started applying some of my technology background just to find houses for myself. And I started doing online marketing on Google and Yahoo and what's now Bing with Microsoft. And we started doing this online marketing and had home sellers from all over the country contacting us to sell their house quick. And that led to a great business here in Dallas-Fort Worth. And then very quickly became a business selling leads to real estate investors all over the United States.
And here you are. So now you have another second business that ties in with that, Fast Home Offer. How those two work together?
You're right. Fast Home Offer is really our lead generation business. In that business, we connect people that want to sell their house quickly with real estate investors that can offer them cash for their house. So they can buy their house in 7 to 14 days because they have the money to close quickly. They don't have to worry about repairs and that type of thing. WeBuyHouses.com is our other business, and that's really what we call a brand license for real estate investors. We help successful real estate investors scale their business up through our nationally known brand, WeBuyHouses.com, probably the best-known brand in the residential real estate investing industry. And then we give real estate investors tools, marketing systems, business processes to help them scale their business up. So in that way, we kind of act as coaches and consultants to the real estate investors that we work with, and we really help home sellers know that they're dealing with somebody they can trust. You know, one of the struggles with the real estate investing industry is, as you know from late night TV, supposedly anybody can get rich quick in real estate. And that's really not true, of course. But when you get somebody that has no experience calling on a home seller that's in a desperate situation, it can really lead to a bad outcome for the home seller. And so We really want to give home sellers that confidence that they're dealing with a reputable investor that can do what they say they're going to do.
Well, along with that, you had a story on CNBC about a short sale fraud, real estate fraud. Talk about that. Talk about what's going on here where people can be taken advantage of.
Yeah. You know, we brought that story to CNBC. It was one of our real estate investors that we work with. And they had been working with a bank to do a short sale. A short sale on a property is when the home seller owes more than the property is worth, and the bank agrees to discount the loan balance so that the home seller can sell the house, so that they're not underwater. They can sell the house and get out of it. And you know what some of these banks started doing was they started asking for kickbacks, which is very illegal. The banks would ask for kickbacks from the real estate
agent. No, the banks would initiate those kickbacks?
The banks, yeah. The bank employees would. And so the bank would ask the real estate agent to give them some money in order to approve the short sale, because the real estate agent is going to get a commission for selling the house. And very illegal practice. And one of our real estate investor clients brought that to us and actually recorded their conversation with the mortgage company. And we brought it to CNBC, and CNBC did an investigation and reported on it. And it was, I think that practice has very much gone away, partly due to some of these things that we've brought forward. But, you know, it's disappointing that in the real estate world, people look to take advantage rather than kind of be on the up and up and do things in the clear.
We are speaking with Jeremy Brandt. Jeremy is the founder of We Buy Houses and Fast Offers, WeBuyHouses.com and FastHomeOffer.com. And you can go to either website, and it'll give you an idea of how to start. You can put your zip code in. You can start looking at different kind of properties. Now, when you're doing it, you license this to the members that come to you as you help them with their real estate?
Exactly. So we vet experienced real estate investors to make sure that they live up to our ethical standards and our standards of their ability to operate in a particular market. We license our brand to those investors. And then in that particular market, that investor works with all the home sellers contacting us to sell their house. And so if a home seller wants to sell their house quickly, they might contact us through WeBuyHouses.com. They would be connected with the local person that has a local WeBuyHouses business, a local WeBuyHouses office in their area. And then that investor would make them an offer to buy their house, and then might present other options as well, whether it's listing with a real estate agent or refinancing their mortgage or other things. We really view ourselves as solutions providers. So we want to help that home seller find the best outcome for them as a business and hopefully make a little bit of money in the process.
So if those home sellers, if nothing else, they know it's an ethical situation they're getting into, it'll be taken care of correctly.
Right. It's a consultative type of arrangement, right? Selling their house for cash is not for everybody, but for a lot of people, it's the perfect solution. And so we always want to offer that as an option and then present the other options as well, whether it's listing or refinancing or some of these other things.
Let's go back to the media attention you're getting. I mentioned CNBC. I also mentioned a number of other areas, Fox News. Was Larry King when I introduced you at the very beginning. How did you get into that, or how did you begin to receive the media attention, and how do you develop that PR?
You know, media attention is one of those weird things. I think we see it in politics now that once you get a little bit of media attention, it's easy to get a lot of media attention. And so the bulk of our media attention came around the height of the housing market. So during the bubble, and then, you know, now we're getting a lot more attention as the real estate market comes back. But it kind of goes back to our business philosophy of working with home sellers, that if we can provide value to the media is going to tell our story. And so if we can help reporters with real estate market statistics and what's going on in a particular city or nationwide, because we have these statistics at a national level, we really help them out and provide value. And in turn, they bring us on to comment on stories they're running.
Well, the bottom line is if you provide something for them that they don't have and is unique to them, they want as much of it as they can get.
Absolutely. It's a, you know, it's a win-win scenario.
Well, one of the things you've done, we talked about this before the show started, you're involved and helped start an organization in Fort Worth called Entrepreneurs Organization, EO. But you surround yourself with brilliant people and you'll succeed. So there's really two questions here. How have you done that? And then talk a little bit about EO.
You're right. I absolutely believe that your life is going to be the average of the people that you surround yourself with. And so that the more you can surround yourself with successful people or people that are where you want to be, the more successful you will be. And so I've tried to live my life that way, finding mentors that have much more business experience than I do, either in the real estate world or just in the technology world or other parts of business to coach me and hopefully help me not have the same mistakes that other people have, right? You can learn by the School of Hard Knocks. You can learn by talking to somebody. And I've definitely learned through the School of Hard Knocks in a lot of areas. But as much as I can take advice from others, I will do that. And so Entrepreneurs Organization is a group that I connected with about 10 years ago. I was a little bit newer in the business.
Was that in Dallas?
Yeah, in Dallas. Dallas is one of the first chapters of Entrepreneurs Organization. Entrepreneurs Organization, or EO, is a global nonprofit organization, chapters all over the world, made up of company owners. You have to be a company founder to get into the organization. It's not for people that have kind of been promoted up through the ranks. And so I got very involved in the Dallas chapter, was president for a year, was on the board for a couple of years. And then just through my passion for entrepreneurialism and helping people grow, I went and started the EO chapter in Fort Worth, which became the fastest growing EO chapter in the history of the organization. Organization's over 25 years old, and the Fort Worth chapter became the fastest growing chapter. I think now we have maybe 60 or 70 members in Fort Worth that are all people that founded successful businesses and are growing them. And so it's really just a mentorship organization. It's a chance for like-minded people to come together and kind of learn from each other and not give each other advice, but really share from their experiences and talk about, here's how I handled that situation. Maybe you can learn something from it, good or bad.
As we talked about before the show started, it's difficult when you're an entrepreneur at that level to talk to somebody else. There's not a whole lot of people you can talk to. Now you have people like-minded you can talk to. Are you still in Fort Worth and Dallas looking for additional members?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So I'm a member of the Fort Worth chapter. We started that chapter there. I'm a member there, very involved still in Dallas, and then very involved kind of at the global level of the organization, doing some things kind of at the global level. As I said, it's a worldwide organization. So certainly anybody that's interested, any business owner that's interested in learning more, becoming involved, can check out the EO website. It's eonetwork.org, or you can just Google Entrepreneurs Organization. And it's a fantastic group. I don't get any money from the group at all. I donate a lot of money to the group, but it's helped my business tremendously.
Well, you've gained from that. You want to help that organization. Again, tell us, everybody, how they can find out more about what you do. If you're a homeowner that wants to sell a home, or if you're in the real estate business, how can they get more information about your companies?
Absolutely. So if you're a home seller that would like to sell your house quickly, we really define that as sometime in the next 30 days. If you'd like to sell your house, you can contact us at webuyhouses.com, and we'll connect you with a local real estate professional that will help you. And if you're a real estate agent or investor that's looking to work with people that want to sell their house quickly and grow your business by really helping people in those situations, you can contact us at fasthomeoffer.com, and we'll have somebody follow up with you and help you grow your business.
Excellent ideas, Jeremy. Thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much.
Jeremy Brandt is the CEO of We Buy Houses and Fast Home Offer. And again, you can go to webuyhouses.com. We're going to take a short break, but don't go away. We're going to have the president of Ming Wang, Stephen Wang, with us. We come back right after this.
There's no question that North Texas is growing. More people are moving here. Employment's up. The housing market's booming. Now, here's something you may not know. 800,000 people in our community struggle with hunger, and one in four children is at risk of going hungry. This holiday season, the North Texas Food Bank needs your help. With every dollar you donate, they provide three nutritious meals to hungry people. Help support the North Texas Food Bank. Go to ntfb.org.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We're going to talk women's fashion. We're going to talk with Stephen Wang, who pretty much runs, if you have to give him a title, probably president of Ming Wang, though there aren't a whole lot of titles there. As a child in Florida, Stephen Wang spent summers and after-school hours working at the Ming Wang Warehouse and Factory, the company his parents founded. Determined to carve his own path, he pursued a career in finance, getting his business degree from the University of Michigan. Upon graduating, he worked as a consultant for Arthur Anderson before deciding to work at the Ming Wang headquarters. By 2003, Stephen was fully involved in the company, opening the brand's New York office and overseeing the warehouse's relocation to Texas in 2006 after 20 years in the South Florida area. Now, the company was founded in 1986. Ming Wang has been a family-owned and operated company since its inception, with namesake designer Ming handling design and her husband Eddie overseeing production. The brand has grown outside the couple's New York City apartment and into a national business. Well, Stephen, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you run the business with your brother, but let's start with why you didn't originally want to be a part of the company.
I think the best story to sum this up, I was about 10 years old, and this was one of my first memories about working with my dad. He wanted me to help him out to kind of clean out the warehouse. So, you know, we emptied out the warehouse, took it out to the dumpster, threw everything in there. And I was like, well, dumpster's full. He's like, no, it's not. He's like, why don't you jump inside and go stomp around? And I was kind of a chubby kid back then, so I thought it was like the weirdest thing, but I got into the dumpster, started jumping around, and started squishing everything down. And then we kind of just repeated this process over and over again, and I just kind of realized that that's what it was going to be like, you know, working in the family business. You know, you kind of really learn to be resourceful, you know, when you kind of start with not so much, you know, you got to make do with what you got.
You do what you have to do. And that was still pretty much the beginning of the company.
Absolutely.
Still growing at that point.
Absolutely.
Well, you, as you told me ahead of time or earlier before we started, that you started with the company a few years before your brother did.
Yes.
But your brother Eric and you work together. How do you split up the duties? What do you do? What does he do?
Well, I handle most of the marketing, the sales, the product development. I think anything that you would kind of consider outside the general walls of our general facility. My brother handles the majority of the operations, the logistics, and the warehouse management skills.
Well, the company has an interesting background. Ming Wang, your family was from Taiwan.
Yes.
Your parents met at the Fashion Institute of Technology. Is that correct?
They didn't meet there. They both attended. So the story behind that is my parents met in Taiwan. I was already born. My dad came to the States first, and he attended Fashion Institute of Technology a year ahead of my mom. And kind of how the business really got started was that when my mom and I immigrated to New York, they didn't have an ability to make a living because my mom had to essentially watch me. There was a company that was kind of advertising that they would teach you how to knit and you can kind of do this at home. And, you know, my mom essentially learned how to do that and she was able to kind of provide for the family that way. My dad at the other time got a job at a grocery store for like $3.75 an hour or something like that. But he caught pneumonia from carrying groceries in and out of the freezer. So then my mom didn't think that was a good idea. She's like, why don't I teach you how to knit too? At the time, we were living in a two-bedroom apartment that we shared with another family. When that family moved out, my dad, being the man that he is, decided to turn that other bedroom into his first factory. And that's essentially how they got started.
So he was an entrepreneur from the very beginning.
Oh, yeah, in every sense.
Well, I understand that the way it started was he went door-to-door with samples. That's how he began to get the word out. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And at the time, I don't even think that they were really – necessarily qualified to have like their own collection. So he went around door to door on 7th Avenue in New York, going to showrooms, trying to kind of essentially market his collection. And someone gave him the bright idea that he's like, you know, maybe you shouldn't have your own collection at this time. Maybe you should just start, you know, manufacturing for other brands. And through the early 80s, before they started, you know, our current company, they were essentially the premier production resource for a lot of domestic brands all throughout, you know, New York.
Now, would that be the parent company, Tula?
That was prior. That preceded Tula. Tula didn't exist until we relocated to South Florida in 86. And that was when they decided not only to manufacture our own product, but essentially have our own labels. And you know, a lot of times they say, you know, necessity is the mother of all invention. You know, when they moved to Florida, they actually partnered with a designer. And my mom was never, ever expecting to kind of play this design role. But, you know, 6 months into the relationship, you know, it didn't work out. My parents bought them out. And in the funny way of how my dad communicates, looked at my mom and says, guess what? You're our new designer. And that's about 30 years ago.
Necessity makes things happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going to your background, it's interesting that a company called Enron that was a client of yours at Arthur Andersen actually was the reason why you are with Ming Wang. Tell us that story.
Yeah. So I was kind of going into my third year at Arthur Andersen. And the funny story was I was in a mergers and acquisition group, and one of my clients was also happened to be in Houston. So my parents didn't really follow what I was doing, but they knew I flew down to Houston every week for about 6 to 7 months. And when this whole Enron's, you know, scandal occurred, and they heard that Enron was located in Houston, the first call that I got was, "Are you involved?" I'm like, you know, same company, same city, but, you know, different client. So, but yeah, with the whole Enron situation, Arthur Andersen essentially dissipated. I had a nice severance package, and I was looking to travel the world. And one of the issues was there was no one really to travel with. So about kind of traveling for about a month, I decided to go home just to hang out in Miami, you know, because that's where I grew up, and decided to help out in the family business. One project became two became three, and about a year later, I asked how I could help, and my dad says, "I think you should go work in the New York showroom." I was like, "We don't have a New York showroom." He's like, "Exactly. You're going to go up there and open up a New York showroom." Yeah, so that's what I did.
And the rest is history. We're speaking with Stephen Wang, who with his brother runs Ming Wang. The website is mingwangknits.com. But let's talk about your customer. Who is a customer that buys your product?
One of the things that we really like to focus on is we like to dress individuals by body type. You know, there's all these studies and reports that the average American woman is a size 12 and above. Now, while
they don't like hearing that, but that's reality.
That is reality. It's both men and women. And but when you look at Madison Avenue and amongst the fashion brands, they go after this aspirational image where all your models are, you know, size 0, 22 years old, and about 6'2". You know, not that. You know, we would like and welcome customers that are 22 and 6'2 and size 0, but that's just not what the general American public is like today. So I think what we really try to do is we try to take concepts that's available on the runways and in the designer market and make sure that it fits all body types. And I really do think that's where we've developed our brand loyalty all these years.
Well, on your website, as I'm looking at it right now, again, mingwangknits.com, you have one click that says, "I am Ming Wang."
Yeah.
How did that happen? And what is that?
So it kind of happened by accident. Originally, what we wanted to do was we wanted to hire models that were more appropriate that we thought would be average American women. So then we had a big model casting for real life-sized models, women that didn't naturally have, you know, that your size 0 and size 2 body type, and we just really couldn't find any professional models that way. So we thought, well, okay, why don't we turn this around and make this an event for our customers? So what we do, about twice a year, we fly in about somewhere between 25 and 30 individuals, and sometimes we'll host contests with our social media platforms, and we'll figure out various ways to select these individuals, but these are women that actually buy the product. And what we really give them is we give them a fashion model's experience 3 days here in Dallas. We'll fly them in, all expenses paid. You know, they start their event out with a massage, makeover the day before, just to kind of, you know.
This is a real event for them.
Yeah, it's a real event. And they get well rested the day before, and then the next day it's a full day event. Full makeup, stylist, fashion photographer, and it happens all day, and we kind of cap off the event by taking one group shot of all, you know, 20 to 30 individuals. And then we kind of finish off the last day by giving them a tour of our facility and our warehouse, and kind of explaining how our product is made, how we're different. And what we really try to do is we try to create this emotional connection and this unforgettable experience that we're really trying to create customers for life.
Oh, you've got a customer for life once you get them involved like that. And they tell their friends too. But you have something else called the Hope Campaign. What is that?
It's kind of like a passion project of actually me personally. And the story behind that is one of the individuals at Hope actually went to high school with my wife. And then she just shot a Facebook message to my wife and said, "You know, I heard your husband's in the apparel industry. You know, can you make us a scarf? And you know, you can't just ask me an open-ended question. Like, I want to know what it was for and how it could really help. So what she described was, you know, a lot of the women that go to the Hope Lodge, and to explain what the Hope Lodge is if an individual going through cancer treatment cannot specifically get that treatment in their local area where they actually have to travel, they can stay at the Hope Lodge, usually next to the cancer treatment facility at no cost, them and their family. And one of the things that she described was a lot of these women going through treatments, you know, there's weight loss, there's loss of complexion. They tend to be really cold, so they would like to give them something so that they feel more comfortable. And our thought in this case, well, a scarf isn't going to do it. So we felt that we'd actually make a wrap, and we partnered with the Hope Lodge and kind of, you know, they helped us design this concept. You know, we wanted to choose a bright purple, and that signified, you know, hope and strength. And what we essentially do is for every season in the fall, when we sell our purple collection, we donate one of these wraps to the Hope Lodge, and we've essentially donated over 3,000 to date.
And where can people find these?
At any Hope Lodge across, there's about 40 Hope Lodges across the United States. It's sponsored by the American Cancer Society, and you can find all those locations on their website.
And tell everybody one more time how they can find out more about Ming Wang.
Well, Ming Wang product is sold at Nordstrom's, Dillard's, Von Maur as the major retailers, and then you can also visit us at mingwangknits.com.
Well, Stephen, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Stephen Wang, who runs Ming Wang. Thank you very much for joining us. We'd have some great guests. We had Stephen. We had Jeremy Brandt, CEO of We Buy Houses. Thank you for joining Playmakers Talk Show. You can get all of our past replays and past episodes on PlaymakersTalkShow.com. And we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting playmakers.